You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your Frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
R&B money. We up. Jake Valentine. We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jake Valentine.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, this is the R&B Money Podcast.
Tell them what it is.
The authority on all things R&B. Here we tell the truth about R&B. We get to the bottom of the bullshit, okay? All right? But first of all, let me make an introduction.
Yeah.
This man is him. And we don't call a lot of hims, because we hims. Sure. But this man been hemming.
And not them.
On a high level.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
So we must take our hat off to him. Mr. James Fauntleroy in the building.
Thank you. Hello at home.
Brother James Fauntleroy.
How you doing, man? This is great to be here with you guys.
Yes, welcome.
Welcome. This is your home,
yeah,
brother.
This is your home.
Thank you. Yeah, the name of the podcast feels appropriate.
Yeah, it does.
What's crazy is that, first of all, congratulations on your jewels.
Oh, thank you very much.
As we spoke earlier, we like to wear our kids' tuition. That's what we do.
We like to wear our kids' tuition.
We like to wear our kids' just in case.
Just in case. Everything's for sale.
We will turn it in. James, first of all, thank you, brother, for being here with us.
Sure. Man, thanks for having me. I love you.
I'm chopping it up. We're gonna dive into the history that is James Fauntleroy.
The mind.
The mind that is James Fauntleroy.
I just want to say, push your girl. Shh. I just want to say that, and then we can go back and start digging into history. But that
the
right
Grammy
there,
winning. Yeah, they won a Grammy. Pusher. They won one of them things.
Listen, brother.
Yeah, that was golden age of my songwriting experience, and that was even though I haven't been writing with Justin for years and years before that. Justin Timberlake, great and honorable.
Y'all play a partner.
We have been writing for years before we. Matter of fact, we wrote Mirrors 6 years before we started the album. So literally, we have been writing for so long, and so you know that was like one of the best experiences of my life. Period. In writing or doing anything, like working on that album.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Y'all had a good time.
It was crazy, man. Niggas was hungry too. I had just recently spent all my money right before that happened.
Yeah. Talk about it.
So yeah, that
Let's go back. Because this is a great way to start. Let's go back.
I want to know what he spent
the
money on.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know what I spent the money on.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, what? James, let's go back to the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. Give me the moment where either you felt it or somebody pointed out to you, this kid right here is special. He's got something.
Well, I knew I was different my whole life, like probably all of us. You know, you could just observing and see that you're different. And then as far as music is concerned, I didn't grow up singing or in church. I thought niggas who sang was soft. And I didn't want to feel or be perceived that way. I was doing a lot of fighting at that time and other things like that. And so when I started singing and like seeing the reception and like kind of, I mean, honestly, it's a story I tell all the time because people be like, what got you starting in business? And really what it was just a really long story. But long story short, somebody asked me to be in like a Black History Month program. I did one line, slid out and said every night on my knees I pray, and then slid back into the lineup. And when I came out, everybody just jumped up and started screaming. All these girls ran up to me.
Wait, was this in high school?
This was in high school.
Okay.
In the ninth grade. Mm-hmm. And so when the girls ran up to me after, I was like, oh, I do this now. This is real.
That's all it takes. That's all it takes.
I was like, oh, now that's what I do. Yeah. If you ask me, then I know now. And so similar thing for a lot of things in my life. Like I didn't know songwriting was a job and until I seen somebody with some money. And then I was like, oh, I'm doing that now. Now this is what I do. So when the first person asked me if I wrote songs, when somebody asked me many things in my life, when I first met Lawrence, he asked me if I sang background, which I didn't. And I just was like, hell yeah, what you talking about? I stand behind y'all niggas to sing right now.
Yeah.
on that gig, he was like, do you write songs? I was like, hell yeah, what you talking about? I had never written anything in my life. Matter of fact, why he said that was because I wrote like a parody song about what was going on with us. And I sang it to everybody like as a joke. And he was like, ha ha ha, that's very funny. But
when you say us.
The 1500 gig. This was on the first 1500.
Yeah, speak on that 1500.
I mean, it was the first 1500 gig. It was a showcase for this act who had like a hot song at the time. I ended up getting fired from that first gig.
Of course you did.
For showing off during rehearsals. But I still did the gig. I just wasn't invited back. But I couldn't help.
What did you
help
do in rehearsals?
Well, when I met Lawrence, even like because I rap, because you know, like I told you before, singing, I didn't identify with singing growing up, so I was rapping, I was killing everybody in my raps. Eminem had just came out at that time, so I was really, my rapping was really like vulgar and you know, violent. And I was battle rapping every chance I could for money. Like I got two racks one time battling somebody. I was really serious about battle rapping. And when I met Lawrence, I had just finished murdering somebody in the parking lot of the youth church at West Angeles. In the alleyway.
So this is so good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Murdered him too. Like rumor has it, he's still there right now. Smoke coming off his skeleton because I murdered that dude.
Yeah.
And then Lawrence was like, "Don't you sing too?" And that's when I was like, "Hell yeah, what you talking about?" And so after I started, you know, writing songs, which was from writing that joke song, they gave me a beat CD. which I always laugh because CDs, blank CDs come in packs, but this was the only one they had. And I was just like, how did that even happen? Like, did you borrow this?
Right.
For someone? Because one day they called me after I had written two songs ever up to this point, and they called me and said they needed their beat CD. And I was like, I don't have another one.
They needed it back.
Yeah, they was like, we need the beat CD back because we going to this meeting. So I drove up there in my bucket, and when right before I got there, I was arguing on the phone. So I got out the car and slammed the door and locked myself out the car, and it was pouring rain. And so I was like, here's your damn CD. And I just sat on my car and was like, they was like, what you gonna do? And my cousin had a beauty salon like 2-3 blocks away. So I was just gonna walk to the beauty salon and call my mom or something. And it was like, nah, man, you can come with us. So I hopped in the car. We went to Can-Am for them to meet Teddy Riley.
Oh, shit.
And then I wrote my third song ever with Teddy Riley. And I learned so much from just that experience. This is before I met Tyrese, even, by the way. I learned so much from that experience. Actually, that song I wrote with Teddy Riley ended up being the first thing I got paid money for, because Snoop Dogg bought it and put it on this compilation album. It was the song that one of the two songs Damon heard when he came downstairs, because I know what actually happened in that story, too. Mm-hmm. One of the two songs Damon heard. It was Remember Me and Storm were the names of the songs, and you know, the rest is history.
Wow. So Can-Am, which we know very well,
mm-hmm. We had a room in Can-Am.
We had a room in
Can-Am. That's a lot of history in Can-Am.
So is this right here, so writing this song with Teddy Riley and you getting in that car, is that where 1500 begins?
No, 1500 was already
touring. They
were Snoop Dogg's band at that time.
Gotcha.
They were Snoop Dogg's band for years. Then they were Lupe Fiasco's band. And now they're, you know, literally Lawrence is in Paris with Beyonce or Jay-Z or both. I don't know.
Of course.
Somebody in there.
His name is Lawrence.
He should be in Paris. He's out there right now. So the band has grown exponentially, but... Mm-hmm. At that time, you know.
You just hit us with the T.I. word.
Too. I had to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see how I got my hands? Like,
I see how I got my vocabulary hands.
I got caviar hands.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Caviar hands, yes.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
you
yoga and Pilates.
When you start putting your fingers together.
Yoga and Pilates.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing, bro.
So, the band is still thriving, and now it's like multiple bands and people in the band that are music directing for like so many people, so the band is still really going strong.
So give me how you get to the second floor with Tyrese
at the Edmonds building.
If y'all want the real story, this is what we're here for. I'm gonna try to condense it because it's somewhat long, but this is what happened, and this is why, especially when you're starting out, you should work with as many people as you can. But it was like there was a famous like mega church pastor who had a young girlfriend that I don't remember her name, but I guarantee y'all know this woman. And so Lawrence was doing this pastor a favor and having us work with this woman.
Mm-hmm. She was an artist or was she a writer?
She was an artist.
Oh, okay.
And so we did a bunch of songs with her, and I don't even remember what she looked like, but I imagine she was attractive. It's blurry in my mind, but I did some songs with her. And then that was it. Because, you know, you meet so many artists in your life, thousands of people, and you never hear from them again or nothing. So I wasn't even really thinking about it. But then, which I got the story from her, and I think Steve Russell might have. This happened in Steve Russell's room on the third floor, this story. Mm-hmm. And so they was writing a song. She told me this. They was writing a song, and this is on the third floor. And Tyrese was like trying to get this woman to go downstairs to the second floor so they can write another song, presumably. And she was like, no. And he was like, all right, well, if I can't get you to come downstairs, who's the best writer you know? And I don't even remember this lady's name, but she said my name to him and gave him my phone number. And then he called me, which I remember it was crazy when he called because my phone was on silent because I was in this big church. Because I said I didn't grow up in church, but after I started going to church to sing, I became a church nigga. I was going every day, all the time. Mm-hmm. Midnight musicals, going to different cities. So I was in Bakersfield at a church thing. And my phone was on silent, and it started ringing loud as hell inside of this church. So I jumped up to run outside, and it was a voice on the phone like, "Is this James?" And I was like, who the fuck is this? Because I told you I was different when I was younger. And he was
walked
like,
out to church, and the first thing you said was,
who the fuck is
this? Yeah, you feel me? So I'm like,
these are layers. We're starting to understand who James Fauntleroy is. From James Brown to James Fauntleroy. Yeah. See where we're going.
Yeah. Yeah. So I go outside, and it's Tyrese on the phone, and he says that he got my number from someone. He said her name, and that's how I got the story, because I ended up calling him to ask what happened. And so he decided that we should meet at Cape Mantalini. I was driving my car at the time. The shit around the battery was loose. That's why I kept breaking down, because every time I was hitting the pothole, the battery was coming unhinged. Wow. So I had to get out and put the shit back on the battery and keep it pushing. And so after that, I played him the song I wrote with Teddy Riley. And he was like, you know, you should come to the studio. And then I went to the studio, which was on the second floor. And that's where I met Glenn Lewis and Hit Boy when it was two of them. That is 100% true. And all the frontline boys and everybody that was working on the second floor. And I was like above and beyond excited, because I was such a fan of the Underdogs that I was going on their website like every day. And I found out to look at the videos of you and all these guys, like, you know, my favorite video was this before and after of y'all getting money. You know, you remember that video?
Tell me, me and the Ford Escort?
Mm-hmm.
Stick shift, yeah, roll down windows.
And some other videos I used to look at on there, but I was a fan of them because of the Tyrese album.
Mm-hmm.
The one where he's looking out the window naked. That's the one that.
The How You Act Like That album.
There you go. Yeah. That album.
Yeah. I forgot the name.
Signs
of Love Making.
Yeah, I was that was like life changing, that whole album, and hearing that sound and how they were doing it and the writing and all these things. So I was so excited to like go work with him. And also I was super like, I didn't even know the Underdogs were going to be on the third floor. So when I found out they were there, my mind was blown. Not to tears level, but my mind was blown.
Right.
And I was just really amped and excited to be working there. That's how I ended up on the second floor.
So were there any records that came out of the second floor?
No. No.
At that time, Tyrese was working on a rap album, wasn't he?
I think it was.
That's what Frontline was.
Yeah, it was Black Tie.
It was Black Tie. Black Tie.
Yeah, so they I remember I went to the Black Tie thing. And no, nothing actually nothing really came out of that as far as like what I was supposed to be doing for Tyrese. Me and Glenn Lewis did like probably like 8 songs that were all really, really, really incredible, especially at that time, because Glenn is incredible. And I was so excited and just really like trying to make the most out of that situation, which actually is what actually happened, which that's. When I hear people's version of the story, it's funny to me, because how I found out actually was the next morning after whatever happened, which I'm going to tell you what happened, when Damon came downstairs, because Damon used to come downstairs fucking with people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I didn't even, I wasn't interacting with him, but I would see him coming downstairs and walking in niggas' rooms and shit. And so what actually happened was Glenn Lewis was going to record, which he did end up recording Storm, which people hit me about it to this day all the time, his version of Storm. And but he was listening. He hadn't cut it yet, so he was listening to Storm, and Remember Me on a playlist on repeat, and he fell asleep. And so Damon came downstairs, like looking around, and heard those songs, and woke Glenn up and said, "Who is this?" And that's how it happened. And so the next morning when I woke up, I had 3 messages on my phone, and one was from this executive manager that was there. One was from Glenn Lewis. And I think one was from Tyrese. I forgot who the third one was. But Glenn's was the last one I heard, and his was the only one that was true. And so, like, the first one was like, "Hey, man, I got this crazy opportunity for you. I talked to the Underdogs. I'm about to hook you. This is how my music business career began. I seen it from the jump. That was the first call. I got this opportunity for you. The next one, man, you'll never guess. These guys came through and, you know, it took a little whatever, but I think we might be able to get you a session. Then Glenn called me and said, hey, man, I fell asleep listening to these songs.
And these niggas heard your records,
man. And they heard your songs. And
they want you, man.
Yeah, they want you to go up there. So that's how it happened. So it wasn't even nobody around me when I found out for me to be grabbing their hand for them. Anyways, that's how that happened. Mm. So then there was like this moment after that where niggas called up there and made it a whole ordeal and announced it and all that before I actually went up there. But, you know, eventually I went from the second floor to the third floor.
Mm. Moving on up.
To the east side.
So when you get to the third floor.
Yeah.
No air.
Yes.
Which is, since you're so mysterious,
right.
It's another cloudy story.
I've heard many versions of that as well.
You have so many cloudy stories because you don't come from behind the shadows, man.
You don't say don't correct nobody. He just collects his checks and keeps moving.
Collect his checks. You know what I mean? You guys are absolute legends. So
Thank you, brother.
That's what brought me out. You feel me?
And I remember my brother called me. My brother Bob called me. He's like, nigga.
I love Bob, man.
It's this kid. This kid from LA. He is cold. He cold. Like, he just kept saying, he cold. I'm like, Bob,
that's awesome.
I'm like, who are you talking about? He like, man, you just got to hear his songs. Because at this time, I had left the Underdogs for the second time.
Mm-hmm. I was gone, too.
Yeah, I had left for the second time.
I had just left.
No, you hadn't left yet.
No, he left. He was gone. I was only there because they left. So had they not left, I wouldn't have been there.
Were you gone by the time?
Yeah.
So I'm working on my album, though. Mm-hmm. I'm working on my album that never comes out. I own it, though. and Bob is like, you got to let this young boy play you these records. He is everything, right? I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to come up there because I'm like, I'm going to come back and do records with the Underdogs for my project, the whole thing. And I hear the Notorious Storm. Mm-hmm. I want Storm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a bag
with Storm is this record. Everybody wants Storm.
Oh, my goddamn Storm. Yeah, I want the record, right? Yeah. And James is like, which I respected about him. Because young writers, you know, they get excited. You know how this shit goes. Young writers get excited and they're like, whoever wanted it and got the check, I'm gonna sell it. He's like, bro, this is his record. As an artist, and I'm not even thinking from no other mindset, I'm stuck on a record, which artists get stuck on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I only have hearing everything else he's playing for me. Mm-hmm. And I think James thought I didn't like him at the time. Mm. I think James thought I didn't like him because, but I did. I was just like, I just want the record. I was stuck on the song. And I remember my brother called me. He was like, Jay, did you listen to it? I said, yeah, I listened, but I want Storm.
Right.
I was like, I want the record.
Right.
He was like, James said, that's this one is funny. Perfect for you. I'm like, I know James thinks this is perfect for me, but I want this record. Yeah. And that was my initial meeting with James and just being like, yo, this guy is incredible. I really, from the jump, bro.
Thanks, man.
No, from the jump. And I know you probably thought that I didn't think so because I didn't want the other records.
I love Bob so much that when his brother came in, I was already like, you know, it didn't matter what you did. I was like, I love this nigga automatically.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then you turn out to be one of the coldest niggas alive. You know what I'm saying? That, so that helps.
Give me no air.
Yeah.
Give
us no air.
What do you want to know?
Come on, please.
Give us no air.
Because I've even recently heard some fantastical stories about. What do you want to know about this song?
Inception.
Okay, so.
Because we just had Steve here, too.
Oh, yeah. What was he talking about?
Little Steve, he was.
Because he came in halfway through the song.
Exactly. No, yeah. He said that.
No, he said that.
He said
Steve
came in
is
at the
a
end.
Real nigga. He not gonna lie.
No, he kept it. Yeah, yeah. He said, and he was angry. He was like, I got to figure a way onto this one.
Nah, he wrote, like, you know, in the biggest parts of the song, it really needed that, and he changed the whole song.
Yeah, no, he said, and when he framed where he got that from, it was crazy. Because, mm-hmm. you know, Steve's a dial-up, you know what I'm saying, in mm-hmm. terms of retro ideas, whether it be melodies or, you know, or syncopations or even subject matter. Steve is great at doing that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it started with you. He was like, they had this joint.
All right, so this is how it happened from my perspective.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Came out of, I don't think anybody knows this, that I've heard say the story. Nobody has said it right so far, but I came out the bathroom and I heard what he was doing. And I was like, hey, what's this? And he was like, I'm working on theme music for this conference for the families of unsolved murders.
Huh?
And it was a woman standing there. And I was like, oh, okay. That's what I said. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Well, have a good time. And I was coming back to the B-room.
I didn't sign up for that.
I was like, all right, well, I hope everything pans out all right for you guys and the families. And when I was walking away, Harvey was coming back there to use the bathroom also. Or maybe he had gone in when I came out or something, but it was something where he was also going to use the bathroom. And then he came... was coming out of the bathroom and was like, also, what's this? And Bluetooth was like, this is for the family, for this conference, for the families of unsolved murders. And Harvey was like, no, it's not. Get up. Get out of here.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I need that.
Pull it up in there.
Yeah. He asked Bluetooth and the woman to leave politely. And then he was like, all right, we got to write this song for Whitney Houston. Because, you know, I think maybe Babyface or, well, I forgot exactly what the connection was, but she was supposed to be coming in to work or something like that. And I was like, all right, cool. So I sat there, started listening to it. I wrote the verse. I was like, what do you think of this? He was like, nah, it's not gonna work. Let's take it to the A room. We went into the A room and set everything up. He got on his computer to like start answering emails. And he was like, all right, let's rewrite that verse. He don't even know this. And I was like, okay, cool. So I sat there and I like did like this on the keyboard. And then I was like, you ready? And I sang him the exact same verse from the back room. Verbatim. And he was like, I love it. That's great. And... And so I went in there.
But you know something? Like, this time. Yes, that's what it is, right? Because it's like sometimes you can hear something and sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it, and I've never seen it happen that close.
Yeah.
In terms of time, it was like 10 minutes or less.
It's taken weeks for me, mm-hmm. but. That happens.
Yeah, he's like, after these emails, this nigga won't remember.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Right, like, shit, it worked.
And so then I recorded the verse. You know, I've just come up a lot in different interviews over the years. The concept I was thinking was that it was people on two different planets. I didn't say that to it then because I have found out already by that time that you didn't need to, I didn't need to explain all that. Just, this is what I think we should do.
Yeah.
And so I had that part, and then me and Harvey worked together because especially like the tag Harvey wrote. He wrote a lot of the hook, actually. And then so me and him wrote that hook together. I wrote the verses, and then that was the song. It wasn't even space for a B section.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when Steve came in and was like, hold on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I need to get on
this. I need in. Yeah. I want in.
And he said, you know what y'all need? And he literally put his hands in the air. I was like, so how? And then he wrote the majority of the lyrics. I think maybe I wrote the last line in the B section or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he wrote the words and the melody. Maybe even for the whole thing. I don't remember. It was such a long time ago. But that's how that song came to be. And then that, like I said, it was for Whitney Houston initially. And then that didn't happen. So it was my song for like 5 minutes, which I was like, I don't even want this to be my song. Mm-hmm. But it was my song for like 5 minutes. And then that was also around the time we were working on Chris Brown on his second album, which we...
Another classic record.
Ended up doing like...
Yeah, come on. What's that record?
That was... Oh, well, I wrote like 5 or 6 songs on there. Take You Down the classic, which you talked about. Steve in concept, Steve came up with that. He heard his kids saying Take You Down around the house, and we had this whole discussion about Chris Brown being old enough to talk about fucking like that week. And so that the I ended up writing the majority of that song, but like, you know, it was me, Steve Harvey, Chris Brown. It was actually a hilarious day. The power went out like 3 times. Niggas was mad because they wouldn't let him in the room because everybody was like hearing that it was sounding like some money.
Yeah.
And wanted to come inside the room. Come in the room.
And niggas like, couldn't we got get enough. In the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got
yeah.
enough.
Yeah. But, we've all been yeah. there.
So because of that and Jordan Sparks, they had a relationship with American Idol. Mm-hmm. So he worked with all the people. And Jordan Sparks, I think, was signed to the same label as Chris Brown. And we had just did all these songs with him. So that all that conversation worked together. They were planning on giving a song to Jordan Sparks, and then someone somewhere was like, let's add Chris Brown to the song, and boom, that was my first hit. This dude told me, you're gonna make $1 million. This random man I saw somewhere, oh, he was a record executive, he was like, oh yeah, that's $1 million. And I was like, nigga, shut up, get out of my face. Until I got that money.
You got money. You got that money.
So when you got like, that dude money. Was on the sub. When you got that money, what did you buy?
Yeah. I bought everything, man. I bought everything under the sun, bro. Because I think I'm so smart too, and I always tell people that being an intellectual person is different from having the wisdom and experience of dealing with money coming from a low socioeconomic background.
Yeah.
So as smart as I was, I bought everything. Like I had 2 pairs of shoes at a time growing up, and I've always been into clothes and, mm-hmm. and fly shit my whole life. Like, my mom used to be like, why? Why are you like this? Why do you want all of this? You ain't never had shit. Because I used to be having, like, $200 shirts and shit when I was broke. Because I was like, this is me. This is who I am. Mama, I don't know what to tell you. And so I bought everything, man. I bought hundreds and hundreds of pairs of shoes. I bought so many watches. I bought a mansion.
Yeah. Off the first check?
Yes, nigga. Oh
my yes.
Bought a mansion.
You know, my numbers are adding. I'm like,
you doing yeah. the math.
I bought these cars. Oh, no, I can. What, nigga?
Where you people... sign up for the loan thing? What
do you get? Oh, my God, bro. I yeah. got
what's the first
everything.
Because
huh?
we knew you had the bucket that the battery wouldn't stay on. So, yeah. what's the
my
first whip?
My first car, I bought a the X6. Before it came out,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, you ordered
so
it.
So I got the X6.
The 4-seater M Series? Yeah.
Got that. I didn't even have an M Series yet. Okay. It was the X Series.
I know exactly wasn't even what you're talking about.
And then I got a 3 Series. Yeah, I just bought them 2 cars.
You gave all your money to BMW, is what you're saying. You just,
I've
like,
been
I like
doing
BMW.
That for the rest yeah. of my life, too. Even post the story, I continue. I just had a Rolls Royce. Like, that's a BMW. So
it is, yeah.
I've been BMWs this whole time, if y'all want to.
Throw a little something yeah. to a fella.
You know what I'm saying? Black man working.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
Yeah, I spent it all, man. And I just remember being broke in my mansion.
And how long?
Hungry.
How long did it take you to go broke?
It took some time because I got, you know, like a nice amount of money because I, you know what I'm saying? I had figured, I really was into studying too. So I had learned why they gave you how much money and who gave it to you. So I got multiple millions of dollars at this time. I was in a $1 million range of checks, but I learned, guys at home, I learned about PRO advances
mm-hmm.
and, you know, like how they calculate publishing checks and, you know, just how to get more money, which I also learned through my manager at the time. Because when I got that, the first big check, I didn't have a manager, and the second one, which was right after, so those were both spent together in tandem. Yeah. Yeah. But Jay Brown was one of my first managers, so he got me, you know, I think it was one check that I was gonna get anyway, you know what I'm saying? And then, but the first actual check I got was because he was bold enough to go in there and ask for that much money. And boy, it's just world record spending, like just gone.
World record spending.
I you know, it was everything I could think of. It was like $1,000 chairs and shit in my living room. I had all the bear bricks. I had swords. It was just everything. It was like blank check.
Nah, nigga. Stop.
His swords.
I bought everything.
I can see James living like in a very museum type.
That's how I'm living now, y'all. Vibe. If y'all wondering how it's
already know.
You can afford it now.
Though. Oh yeah, I learned a lot from that first time. I learned so much, dude. Because yeah. like, you know, like before I went broke, like on the way to broke, I switched business managers, thinking that was gonna be the answer.
You stop the bleeding. It was you.
Boy, they because business management and this, it, obviously so many things around the music business, and including the music business, are predatory, but
yeah,
business managers, just the vast majority of the people we come in contact with are predators, not only because there's an easy target for them to take advantage of, but also because they know it's going to be a new you coming in next
every day.
Week.
Every
yeah,
day.
Literally every yeah. day it's a new nigga like you, so they could care less. So those guys really like, you know, because I really was asking them too. I was like, can I afford this? Can I? I tried my best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I had one of those conversations yeah. really early on. I think I'm maybe 19 or 20. After my first big check,
mm-hmm.
once again, shout out to Justin Timberlake. That's my hey. Nigga. That's my nigga for life.
Mm-hmm.
I get this check, NSYNC, do this big publishing deal. I get a new business manager. I never had a business manager. And this man tells me, I call him. I'm like, I just seen this new car. He just came out. I saw it somewhere. The crazy thing, I think it was Troy Carter's.
Oh, okay.
He had the only one. It was the Bentley GT.
Mm. I think the coupe. Hot off the presses.
What? I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, he said, you can afford it, but if you buy it, I quit.
Oh, wow.
Because I can't help you. You're not going to listen to me.
Yeah. Nah, my business manager was like, get two. He was like, you know, I like that car too.
Come pick me
yeah,
up.
I had met with a couple of those. They was trying to tell me how to get jewelry and shit. I'm like, I don't like these niggas.
So that's all the business managers I ever had. Still, you know, so. And so, again, while I was broke, I still was like, shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there's none of this. None of this is making me better or worse. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So my goal has always been and still is to just develop myself as a human being. And as a songwriter, and just get better till I'm done, till the end of this journey,
bro. That's a very important thought.
Mm-hmm.
That none of this is making me better or worse.
Yeah,
because we get caught up in that.
Yeah,
we get everybody, especially in this business or in any business where you know where the money makes you feel the accomplishment.
That's because people treat you like that too. You
know what yes. I'm saying?
People treat us, which that's another thing I try to tell people all the time, and I forgot what you said that made me think about it, but you know, I have like, let's say like 500 unique releases or something like that. I got a lot of songs because I had the historically ridiculous MDRC. That's a minimum delivery release commitment for those at home.
Yeah, we don't like those MDRCs.
Like 30 songs or something.
What?
Something
what?
In CS,
your MDRC
something.
Was 30?
Yeah, it was like four. Look, you know, it was like
shit.
Four. It was three, then four, then another four, then 10, then another 10. And I finished it. And that's why I got so many songs, because I had to get out of that deal.
Jesus yeah.
Christ. And so throughout that process, I want to give a big shout out to Mark Pitts. Because he's the only A&R that's ever bought one of my songs, like that I ever played a song for.
Mm-hmm.
And they was like, I'm gonna use this song. So of all them 500 songs, 499 of them songs were not shopped, not played in a label, no management. It was all, you know, there's a sizable amount that I did at the Underdogs, like probably 20 or something like that. And then the rest was all through the artists. Like Rihanna walked up to me one day. Beyonce had Tata call me. That's how I met Tata, who I love too. That's like family. Just all of these. Oh man, Tata's one of the best A&Rs on the earth too, by the way. I just want to say that too. He's got a really good year. But yeah, man, like it really has always been about just developing myself and just really like how can I be better?
I gotta ask you about, what the hell were you thinking in the beginning of Click?
Oh,
bro, that is one of the coolest intros.
Shout out to Hit-Boy, the GOAT.
Hey, bro. Yeah, shout out to Hit-Boy.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell, dog? The way you come in on that record.
Yeah, I was on one at that time. That was in Hawaii. In the ancient times of Kanye's Remaining Blackness.
Well,
and That was when we were working in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a room. I actually wrote that intro to the audio of the beat. So it wasn't a cappella when I did it.
Okay.
And it was nothing on it. There was no raps. There was nothing. So I didn't know what they were going to talk about or anything. And I just, you know, all my songs, same thing. Like, I feel like, you know, there's a select few that are great, people that care about the things I care about in music. But, like, I just always felt like I'm on my own trajectory of, like, how I'm growing and what I'm trying to accomplish. So I'm comparing myself to the shit I think is great.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's why I'm like, you know, what I'm saying on there is talking about just, like, the plight of the black man.
Yeah.
And
what are the dollar you dying
yeah,
for?
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that's like, you know, from Marvin Gaye, Curtis Mayfield, yeah. Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, this is how you do it. This is what we're doing. We're expressing an idea in the most fly, attractive mm-hmm. way we can sing it. And so that's all I was thinking was like, you know, I didn't know Kanye at the time. So I was like super excited. to be there, and I just was like, I'm gonna do my best. I got something to say, and this is the best I can do. So I was just going ham on everything they gave me.
Nice.
Yeah. And then it was his idea to make an acapella. He cut the beat and put that shit in the intro like that.
Oh yeah, he shined you out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a flower to give. L.A.
Oh, man, I love that song, dude. I love Ty and Mary and Kendrick, everybody on the song.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
shout out to D-Mile.
D-Mile.
Mm-hmm. I think Spanish
like,
Cat, too.
Man, I said, what is going on?
I didn't write that. I wrote my verse on there.
But you were on it, though.
Yeah. I wrote the hook, I think, which a lot of things over time have kind of started to flow in the direction of how I sound, which I love to death, by the way.
Yes.
And so a lot of things sound like me, and a lot I hear from people on a regular basis. You know, people are still to this day, everybody, which I'm like, guys, it's fucking everybody, so you don't have to tell me every time somebody sounds like
yeah,
me
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah, you have a thing.
For you know sure. what I mean?
You have for a sure. thing. We copy your thing.
No,
I'm throwing myself in the pot.
In love. Like the fact that, because I studied Jew, so it's for you that. To even say that is really too much for me to process right now. But what am I even talking about? I just threw my whole shit off.
LA. Yeah, he said from just threw my whole
LA.
Yeah.
And so I am a very LA person. Yeah. I love Los Angeles. I grew up as hood as a human being can grow. Okay? The rose that grew from concrete.
Yeah.
Ghetto. That's how I grew up. And so, like, having the opportunity to, and I know Ty forever. I knew Ty when he was, Ty and Corey, when he was a neo soul artist. And so I was just so, I've always been like a fan of his talent, but I was so proud and excited when his career you know, started taking the shape that it is today. And so if he asked me to do anything, I'm gonna be like, hell yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
But then that was amazing. Yeah. On top of that. Yeah. And so again, like, it's just certain circumstances and music that brings something different out of you. And I think that song, like I said, D-Mile and all these different factors that just really made that song the perfect place for me to be myself and, like, mm-hmm. talk about the city I grew up in. There's gangbanging references in the verse, yeah, you know, like, yeah. It's just really, you know, like, yeah. That was a chance to really, like, put myself into what I was doing. Because usually when I'm writing, it's for someone else.
Somebody right. else, yeah.
And so I love that song, man. That's one of my favorite songs I worked on ever.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then they put Brandy on it.
Yeah, that's not cool.
That's crazy.
That's just
that's
you don't do all that.
Cheat code. It's a cheat code.
That's not cool.
That's the cheat code, man.
That's out of control.
No, absolutely. So now you jump to
get to it because I was going.
Yeah, because I listen. If I don't bring it up, my daughter gonna be mad at me.
Yeah,
my baby girl gonna be mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
Bruno Mars.
Oh man,
that's what I like.
Talk about changing your life.
That's what I like, man.
My God.
The 24K album.
Yeah.
Like, how do
you... Yeah, what do you want to know
about? No. Yeah, man. Yeah. Because the stereotypes, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
man.
Our guys.
Yeah, they won.
I remember, I said it before, they're the first person to ever tell me about Bruno.
Because they know
at the time, Tank and I had a room at the studio. What was it
Track studio? Record you told me?
It was Underdog Studio.
Yeah,
it was not Paramount. No.
It was Track Record.
It used to be Track Record. And then what's the name bought it?
Yeah. And then
I think Paramount, one of those companies.
Yeah, one of those guys bought it.
Well, partnered up with Harvey. Yeah.
We had a room up there. Tank and I in Oak and Pop. And Stereotypes had the treehouse room.
Yeah, some amazing cast.
And I used to just watch Bruno walk in the parking lot and just chain smoke cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, Ray and John was like, listen, that guy is incredible.
Man, bruh. He's insane.
So hearing what you guys created with that Bruno Mars album, man, and like I said, that's what I like. And Versace on the floor, and you know what I mean? There are LA references.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if I wrote all the LA references.
No? Because I just figured that.
No, I like
okay,
that. I really like
James.
When people assume I did everything good. That's my that's one of my favorite things about being me. It's like, hey, wow, thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't write that shit.
So you didn't write known to give the color red to blues?
No.
Because that's a very LA
If I'm
LA
not mistaken,
lyric.
Phil wrote that.
Okay.
Phil is hilarious, and he's a pure genius. Just both of them are just two hilarious geniuses. And they've been working together the entire Bruno, mm-hmm. you know, like, ascent. Mm-hmm. And I met Phil before I even thought about being a writer. So I met him.
Oh, shit.
When I was before they kicked me out of college, I met Phil because I was teaching like a guest teacher in this charter school music program, and Phil came to talk to the students, and he was so funny. I just never forgot that nigga. And then, you know, over a decade later, I ended up getting pulled in. But that happened because I met Bruno day one. Also, 1500 used to work in Steve Lindsay's studio on Olympic and something in Hollywood. And that's when I met Bruno, man. I was re-recording that song I wrote with Teddy Riley, and he like bust in the studio and was like, what's this? He still plays that shit from time to time. But as far as that album, like, all I can really just do is just be so thankful, because you know, you guys will know this very well, but songwriters and producers, your lifespan is typically 1 to 3 years. Usually you get one thing and that's it for you. Oh yeah, engineer really gonna have noticed this, but like, you get 1 to 3 years of heat.
Of a run, yeah.
I've been doing this for 15 years now, professionally.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What you gonna do?
One of my many talents.
What you gonna do? Come on, show your many talents off, man.
We ain't had no class start like this yet.
Making this motherfucker sound good. Yeah, that's one of my many. Top five.
Hallelujah.
Top five.
Yes, yes.
Your top five. R&B singer. R&B songs. James from the hood. He's got a top five. A top five.
Oh, there you go.
Top five.
Wow. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. James Fauntleroy. Mm. Your top five.
That was y'all class right there. If y'all was looking for a class.
Top five R&B singers.
All right. I'm prepared. Let's see if I can remember this without using my list, my memory, especially my short-term memory. It struggles. Nope. Where's my phone?
Nope.
Let me open up.
That didn't take long. No, I don't got it.
That's great. That's great.
I got this right here on my strawberry lemonade.
Yeah, on the strawberry lemonade phone.
You wrote that too.
Yeah, you did write that.
I know. You know. Yeah. Good work.
You know what I'm saying?
Good work.
You beat me to that.
Boom.
I don't like it.
Okay. Now. Top five R&B songs.
Singers.
Yeah, we're going to start with the singers.
Singers. I'm going to just rip the Band-Aid off. It's Stevie Wonder, Prince, Joe, Brandy, and Luther.
Come on, top five.
Luther. Ooh, smoke. Both Luthers.
Brandy and Joe give you that.
It's full of smoke.
They're from the same. They're from the same house. They're cut from that same Daryl Coley cloth.
Yeah.
They're in that space. And then you throw Luther on there. Luther probably the most angelic vocal of all times.
I'm not gonna argue with you.
The most straight ahead angelic vocal.
I'm not gonna argue with you.
Of all times. When they were doing a comparison of Charlie Wilson and and Luther. And it's a tough comparison, right? Because, you know, if you're just talking about, you know, acrobatics and movements, of course, Charlie Wilson can do anything that Luther Vandross can do. Luther probably can't do anything that Charlie can do. But here's a sound that Luther has that is just, that has not been duplicated. The closest person to him ever, and I hate to give him this credit because we was at odds at times, but I was so mad because he was singing and the girls would start screaming. I'd be like, he ain't even got no muscles. Jaheim.
All right. I thought you was going to say me, but that's cool. I'm just kidding. I knew it was going to be me.
Jaheim would get on
some muscles under there, man.
Jaheim would get on
the
stage.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah. Rolling through six floor. And he'd just walk on the stage and grab fingertips and just sing the song. And I'd be so upset because I'd be jumping around on speakers, doing backflips and everything.
He like, had that Luther tone.
That Luther tone.
He had that Luther tone.
That's a great top five. Okay, top five R&B songs.
All right, let me go back into my list here. Mm-hmm. Whoop. All right, shout out again. You said Rod Temperton. I met Rod Temperton before he died. It was really hilarious, man. It was a great experience. He wrote my favorite R&B song ever, which is Always and Forever by Heatwave. And that was his first single he wrote also. And
ever.
He was in Heatwave.
He was in Heatwave,
had a whole long... That was the majority of the conversation because I don't think he was expecting me to pull that out either.
Right.
And so we had a long conversation about Always and Forever, but Always and Forever by Heatwave. Make Me a Believer by Luther Vandross. Yeah, you're going to have to dig into the crates.
Okay,
I will.
Yeah, yeah.
But boy.
I will.
That Girl by Stevie Wonder.
Oof.
Like This by Brandy from the Full Moon album.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing album. And amazing song.
Priceless by Joe. Have you heard that song?
Yeah.
Yep. Those are my top fives.
Of course those are your top five.
Yeah, you can hear it in my songs.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. We're not done with you. We're not done, brother. We like to do what we call R&B Voltron. Where you're going to put together your R&B artists, your perfect R&B artists.
Okay.
Who you're going to get the vocal from, the performance style from, the styling from, and the passion of that artist. What artist are you getting the vocal from?
I didn't write this down.
Caught
your ass off guard.
Who vocals, you grabbing the vocal?
I'm going to take... And another M. Mario.
Amazing voice.
Mario's singing.
I was about to say Juanes? No.
No.
Mario.
Mario.
From Baltimore.
Yeah. What's next?
You should write him a song.
I would love to. Where you at? What's up?
Yeah.
That has to happen. It has to be a Mario record written by James Fauntleroy.
He's still a song away. And he's had big records. But he needs a right now song.
Yeah.
From Fauntleroy.
I mean, whole album.
He said, whole album.
Oh!
Ooh. Are you just committed to the whole album?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Mario? Yeah.
We don't want no percentage.
You know what I'm saying? Just,
unless you want to give me one.
Just something on the credits. You know what I'm saying?
Just something I can show my kids.
Yeah,
You know?
That's nice. He's nasty on record. Performance style.
Performance wise, I'm going to say the Future Sex Justin.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I was there too.
Yeah, like that. Person,
I was right there too.
Nah, I think I get busy.
Yeah.
He was youthful.
It was insane. I was like,
yeah,
just crazy.
I saw that in my first show, and I saw that in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you came back. Yeah, so Jay, we gotta tell these promoters. I said, Tank, they're not gonna give it to you. Justin owns all that shit.
We need all of the, Justin owns it. Well, let's call said, Justin. Justin, are you using?
Are you using it?
Your LED wall. Yeah. Your 50-foot LED.
I'm gonna be like,
wall.
Yeah, man. Shit's in the backyard right now. Sorry.
It's in the backyard right now.
Kids playing with that shit right now. I can't take it from them and give it to you.
Styling of the artist.
Come on, man. You know, you the follower, man.
I was about to say.
Yeah. The follower.
Yeah.
Chris Brown. Yes.
He's been mentioned.
Said it has multiple, been, yeah, multiple times, times
about that
Chris
style.
Brown is a Voltron, you know what I mean? But is. I mean, like, since I'm just pulling things for people.
Yeah.
Chris Brown fly.
Yeah.
He fly.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Racks. Racks of flyness.
Yeah.
Effortless too. He just puts it on.
Yeah.
You know who else y'all should check out? Style Man, it's Thundercat. I don't know if y'all looking into what he got on, but
he's got it on.
That's a stylish nigga right there, boy.
Okay.
Thundercat. Check out some
Thundercat.
Of the editorials.
We come and look at your style.
Yeah. We can't wear everything that nigga's wearing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But
okay.
It's a fly nigga.
The passion of the artist, the heart of the artist.
Mm.
Who mean it?
Who means it? Tank.
Wow.
Yes. Who has more sincere energy on this planet?
About some panties dropping.
Oh, yeah. What? Who is more committed? You can't find them. We won't even know because the people who got that don't sound like Tank. So we can't even hear through that shit. Us, but I'm gonna put the power of Tank inside of this machine. And you better get the fuck out the way. That's all I'm gonna say.
My brother.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Not mad at that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Not mad at that. Yeah, but we're not gonna let you get out of here without.
What is this?
I ain't saying no names. 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 Where you was? Who you was with? What you did? Don't say shit. I ain't saying no names.
You gotta pay offering after that, boy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The offering's coming.
Yeah, 100 people. It's 10 people with $100 in here right now.
Oh man,
I can feel it. I can feel it.
I used to walk right out as soon as I heard that. Like, they need niggas
through. Yeah.
Hey man, so listen.
You'll be like, it's 9 now because you're getting.
Yeah, I'm gone. Yeah, I'm gone. The Tim nigga walked out. I ain't saying no names.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You tell us a story, funny or fucked up, mm-hmm. or funny and mm-hmm. fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
The only rule is you can't say no names.
Mm. Okay.
Amongst your journeys, James Fauntleroy.
Journeys.
If y'all knew the things I have seen.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I probably
working
know some
with
of
all these people that we was talking about.
My God.
Except Bruno. Bruno keeps closed environment. Shout out to Bruno's closed environment.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, though.
Okay.
Right now,
mm-hmm.
this is James Fauntleroy, 1500 or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest songwriters, in my opinion, of all time.
I share that opinion.
From here, from now, from the beginning to the end of this whole thing that we got, James is a guy. Him. I ain't saying no names.
It's so many stories. I can't even. It's difficult to choose one. But, and I'm like, can I even tell this story without the people involved knowing? But when you hear the story, you'll realize how much I care about if they know or not.
Hmm.
It's very little.
Okay.
In case you don't pick it up by the end of the story. So one time, now mind you, even though I was on the first 1500 gig, but I was also the first person, even though I was not playing anything anyway, I was singing background when I was doing gigs, so it was very easy for me to be like, I'm not doing that anymore, I'm writing songs now. But I did a lot of, I was like a professional background singer for like at least 2 years, 2-3 years. So I have done a lot of background gigs and I can do it. I would still do it if I had to. And this is one of those situations because part of the arrangement, it was a really big opportunity for the band. First time doing this type of show. And part of the arrangement was, but we need James to also be involved. And I'm like, I don't play nothing. Why? And it was like, that's what we said. And I said, you know what? I'm there. I'm going to do it. And so on this gig, you know, the band, after we went through all these different like qualifying interviews, because this was just a bigger opportunity than, you know, we had had up to this point. And also we were very young, and usually the bands that do these kinds of things are like, you know, 40, 50 year seasoned players. And so there was just a lot of talk about what's going on, so much so that they actually put a legendary musician like in the band, you know what I mean? Like to basically run the band, you know, for the most part, because most of the old guys also, they're reading sheet music, which most of the young guys don't do that. And, you know, so that was one of the points of like, well, can they read sheet music? Right. And niggas was like, no. And so anyways, so they put this legendary man in the group, and the legendary man, he was used to legendary shit, and he had a very specific configuration he liked that we tried our best to fit into. Well, one of the things that did not fit into his structure were the background singers that we chose. Now, I didn't choose to sing background because at this point, this is when I was back rich. So
I'm back rich.
This is post broke. Now I done got money too. I'm like, y'all niggas want me to do what? Rich. Okay.
Yeah.
So I went to do the gig anyway. But this legendary man, he had a really big issue with not being able to have his background singers involved. I found out after we're all like, hey, what you guys going to do after this great show? Because the show went really well. One of them was like, oh, this is an older woman, by the way. One of them was like, oh, I'm going to the orgy. And pulled out her Facebook orgy group and was like, see? And I was like, oh, okay, it's baby.
A Facebook orgy group?
Yeah, a Facebook orgy group. That's what they doing on Facebook, y'all. So I don't know what you want to do with that information. Whichever way you want to go with that, either stay away or now you know where to go. So I'm like, okay, I get it why he wanted to have his old freaks up there singing backgrounds. But I didn't understand why he was so adamant. You know, y'all done some of these gigs. You can't even hear. Well, you've been in the front, but you know, you can't even hear the background half the time on these kind of huge, huge gig. And so I'm like, why is this nigga so pressed? He ended up firing, I think, if not all the background singers, most of the background singers.
That y'all brought.
Yeah. One of them went off on him. She was like this incredible, incredible singer. Much better than all of us, honestly, including the old freaks. And she shouldn't have been fired, but he fired her ass. She went off on him. He was like, I mean, and we still laugh about this shit to this day, because he was like, I mean, you know, in show business, you just never know. After he got cussed out real bad. So we still tell people, you just never know. And it's show business, baby, to this day.
It's show business, baby.
And so we at the gig. Here we go. I'm like, all right, I hope everybody's happy, because here I am doing this stupid ass shit that I don't want to do. Although I was so happy to be like interacting with the people on the gig and the artists, and even dealing with the older guys. That was like I think I won't list their names out, but
they're legends.
Legends, yeah. That I was really happy to interact with. And even this guy until this moment. And so while we doing the show, he keeps looking back at me now.
During the gig,
we getting ready for the thing, you know, it's we doing a rehearsal for the day. And he keeps looking at me, and I'm looking back like, is this nigga looking at me? Because he keeps looking at me. And I'm like, I know I'm not singing bad, because I'm not even singing. I'm letting the old freaks handle everything.
Yeah.
I'm mouthing the song. I think I sang on maybe 2 songs out of 15 or something, because I like those songs.
Yeah.
I was adding parts that didn't belong the whole night.
Yeah.
And so, but this wasn't that. I'm just sitting there not singing, acting like I'm singing. He keeps looking back at me and making all these faces and hand gestures and shit. So I just got up out of my chair and I went down there and I put my hand out to shake his hand, and he took my hand, and I pulled that nigga so hard that his chest hit my hand and you could hear the air come out. It was like, oh. And then I also followed that up. I took the air out and put it back because I hit the nigga real hard on the back at the same time.
He burped the nigga. He's like, I got kids.
I had to burp this nigga, right? And so I was like, hey, man, we already had this conversation. You know why I'm here. I what we gonna do is we're gonna get through this shit, and we're not gonna do nothing weird. We're not doing no more weird shit, because you don't want to find out what else can happen if you keep looking back here at me like this. And that nigga's eyes got as big as his whole face. The whole face turned into two eyeballs. This nigga was just like, because he's such a legend, so I know he wouldn't expect me to say that, but I'll tell you what, that nigga didn't look back one more time for the rest. He may never have looked back again. That nigga started moving forward in life. That nigga never looked. He took the rear view mirrors out of his car.
Never talked about the past.
That nigga never looked back again. We got through that show real smooth. And, you know, that was one of my stories.
Nigga, that's a great story.
That is a great story.
Thank you, guys.
Shout out to the old freaks.
Man, shout out to the old freaks.
The Facebook orgies.
Hollywood. You never know.
I'm going to the orgy. She said it loud, too. And she had the group up already. She didn't go to it. No, it was like an FBI.
It was already open.
Like a badge.
Because he liked to get physical after the gig.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
That's great.
That's great.
Yeah, man. Lift him up off the ground just a little bit, too, just so you can know.
If any of you rappers use that in y'all records, remember where it came from.
Bro.
Time you got a burp a nigga.
Yeah. Man, that's great. James, first of all, thank you, brother, man. Appreciate
thank you guys
you.
For having me, man.
Come on, that's
man.
Amazing, legend, bro.
Yeah, we glad we're able to have these conversations and share that information and share your greatness. You know, continue to celebrate your greatness.
Yeah.
You know what thank saying? You very you much. Are that I appreciate nigga. It. Yeah. I appreciate
you
know it.
Thank you for coming outside, bro.
Oh, yeah. Man, thank you.
You don't outside. Do this for everybody.
Yeah. That is 100%
for the R&B Money podcast.
Yeah, man. That ain't changed neither, so don't be trying to, like, you know. Right, relax.
And Dr. Tank.
Dr. Tank coming
to honorary Valentine.
And honorary Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
Are coming down to the school.
Yes, please.
We talk that R&B talk.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
I'll be in the front row with notes, taking notes.
Yeah, that is a done deal.
Yeah, that's happening.
And, that's you happened. Know, this has been our brother. This has been our loved one. And this has been just an exceptional human being, an exceptional talent. God's gift to this universe, man. Mr. James Franklin.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Wow.
R&B Money!
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/RMB Money.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.